Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Busy third hour, but a good chance for you to get through right now. What's cracking? I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the Quicken Loan Studio. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Michael Porter Jr. is going to join me in about 20 minutes. Tariq Cohen coming up at 40 past. So we go back to back starting next segment, which means this is the segment where you want to get through. 1-800-636-8686. You want to hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. You want to shoot me an email at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Big topic right now, the fact that I have a rule change for Smack Off 24, the Smack Off July 20th. There are not very many rules, almost no rules, in fact, but now we have a new one. No storming the studio, the so-called Left in Laguna rule. Again, I did not make that rule to keep him out of the studio. I made that rule to keep all of you out of the studio. But already, it's moving the odds. Go to Stucknut for the latest. At first glance, I think that Leff was plus 200. Last I looked, he was the betting favorite at plus 200. Last I looked, plus 400. You know, and again, very unscientific. Just one man's opinion. Of course, Stucknut's opinion does matter. But according to those odds, he is now below Brad and Mike both. So I wonder what their reaction is. I wonder what all their reactions are. I wonder what Leff is thinking right now. I wonder how that's going to impact Leff's call. And the reason I say that, I've got a pretty good idea that Leff already has a pretty good idea what he's going to do. I don't think Leff, based on what he's put into his last couple of calls, I don't think that Leff is starting his smack-off prep the week before. I think Leff already knows exactly what he wants to get done. I don't know what it is, and I don't know that this rule is going to impact that. You may find this hard to believe. I do not communicate with you clones off air. So I don't know what Mike's doing. I don't know what Lev's doing. I don't know what anybody's doing. But I know your reaction. At Blitz Team Savage tweets, Lev's face color, pale white over a toilet. At Randall in the OC tweets, most famous rules in sports, the Larry Bird rule. The Emmett Smith rule. The Leff in Laguna rule. Yeah! If I'm Leff, I'm feeling pretty good about me. Why? Because we changed the rules of the game for him, allegedly. At Steve PHX tweets, I won't walk in your studio this year. Sincerely, Leff. Suspended from the ceiling like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. I don't know, Steve. I never thought that I would say this, but your tweets are getting better. Like he found some loophole. No storming the studio. None of you can walk into my studio. Yeah, well, what about if I'm suspended from the ceiling? Ian McLean tweets, Rome, is there any way that you can also ban Adam Hawk from the studio? Thanks. I could. I might, but not at this point. So that's one of the main topics. The aforementioned Hawk in the studio. at Dustin Portland Four tweets. Is this the first time you had to tiger-proof the course for somebody in the smack-off? Again, you can say it's for one guy, or you can say, I've heard your concerns, and I made a decision. Or you could say, and this is what I am saying, and this is what I mean, it's not for one guy, it's for all of you. I didn't want a series of people to look at Leff, look at what he's done, because obviously they're going to be copycats. People are going to look at how he did it and think, well, it worked for him, maybe it'll work for me. And next thing you know, on a day that's already stressful enough, on a day that's got enough moving parts, I don't need a bunch of you trying to find a way into my studio. New studio, television component, I just decided that I didn't want that from him or anybody else who might have gotten the same idea. So how does that impact the field? At Soup Grows Cold is in again. My money's on Mike and Indy trolling the hell out of the clones. He'll come up big in a few weeks. I hope. But that's not why we made the rule. You know, if that's why I made the rule, and Mike were to not show up, would I then change the rule back? It may in fact be the Leff and Laguna rule, but I'll tell you what it's not. It's not the Mike and Indy rule. I did not do that to ensure that Mike would attend. I'm not changing the rule to get somebody to attend. If you don't want to be in the smack-off, that's on you. Especially knowing what the smack-off has done for so many people. And continues to do. J-Man tweets, no studio storming. So how is McGimmick supposed to win now? That's on McGimmick. But let me tell you about Leff. When you think of all the trash that guy's talked since winning, when you think about all the junk this guy's talked since going back to back, if we rip that club out of his bag and he goes three-peat, you'll never shut this guy up. Imagine the junk that he will talk then. All right, so your thoughts on the rule change. Let's go to Harrisburg. Jason in Harrisburg. It's good to have you on the show, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Great.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks for resetting Leff and McGimmick's winning smack-off call last week. With the smack-off coming up, it's nice to be reminded of what the champ actually sounds like. I mean, I could tell you a dozen different things that Brad and Corona, Mike and Indy, Vic and NoCal, Jeff from Richmond, or hell, even Trapper, and I loathe Trapper, have said over the years. But there are only three things I can tell you about Leff. First, he called you from a choppa. Second, he stormed your studio. And third, he stormed your studio with a bunch of guys who actually matter. Rome, you just reset Leff and McGimmick's winning call on Thursday of last week, and the only audio I can remember is from Terrence and Sierra Madre. You know what this means, right, Jim? It means Leff and McGimmick is the jungle jock sniffer. Think about it, Jim. What is a jock sniffer? It's a guy who can't play ball, who will do anything to be associated with the guys who can play ball. He'll spend crazy money, he'll throw crazy parties and do crazy things just so he can say he was with the real ballers. A strictly hypothetical example of this would be a guy who sees a famous picture from an old Sports Illustrated cover and thinks, wow, those guys are so cool. I wish I could be like them. He would then spend God knows how much time and God knows how much money to get all those guys to go to some radio show host studio together to recreate the picture. This guy would then insert himself in the picture and voila. He's now associated with the actual cool guy. This would be a classic jock sniffer move. I know it's a little far-fetched, but I think it nicely illustrates my point. And Rome, I want to make a prediction about Leff and McGimmick's smack-off call this year. I bet this jock sniffer will spend a ton of money on some high production value video that he wants CBS Sports Network to play alongside his call, or knowing Leff to just be his call. Now, Rome, I hope I'm wrong.
Now, Jason, you're done. All right, I got your point. He's a jock sniffer. But I want to jump in because you mentioned something about the high production video that he's going to do. I've been thinking about that as well, clones. And I think a lot of you are caught up in the hype of it's going to be on TV, it's going to be on TV, it's going to be on TV, so now I need production value video for TV. I'm not sure that's a real good idea for you. And we'll get into that later on. One rule change, though. I mean, that's not even a rule change per se. But The rule change is you cannot storm the studio. Whatever call you have to make, you will make from outside of this studio. The only person in this studio is me. You can't come in here. So it comes down to this. Can this guy win without storming the studio? According to that guy, no. I don't profess to know Lef really, really well. But I think I know him well enough to know this is the kind of guy that would get that information and bounce back. I don't think that's the kind of information where this guy's going to get hit in the head and not get back up. I don't think this is the kind of information where a guy like that's going to say, oh, hell no. Forget it. I'm out, Rome. Or oh, I didn't know about July 20th. That's my family vacation. Or I got sick. I've got a feeling this guy's going to take that information and try to use it to jam the rest of you with. And then, like I said, then he's got the ultimate scoreboard. He's already got back-to-back scoreboard. If this guy were to take that rule change and win without that, quote, gimmick, he'll never shut up about it, and nor would I if I were him. Let's go to Florida. Jay. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Romy, I'm great. Thanks for taking the call, brother. And, you know, I've been away from the show for a long while here. The thing that brought me back, though, was that I saw retweets about the Hall of Fame voting. So I went out, voted, and then I found the show again. I've been listening regularly since. And Rome, no one is more deserving than you, and you'll be in that club someday soon. But luckily for me, I found my way back to the show right in the midst of smack-off season. So now I'm just trying to gauge the field in this thing since these so-called legends remain silent. Now, we did get former winner Mark's rambling take on Friday. And look, I wasn't familiar with him as a caller, but based on his pathetic little professional glam shot on CBS Sports Network during his call, coupled with him calling from Hollywood, I assumed he had to be some kind of an actor. And after a cursory glance at this guy's depressing-ass IMDb page, I guess we can't really blame him for Friday. Must be tough to make a call while prepping the jalapeno poppers for cocktail hour, or calling from the broom closet at whatever other catering gig he's currently working. Maybe he should just lay off those takes that got him run on Friday and stick to the hard-hitting roles, like bystander and valet. Actor and writer Mark is called an extra, Playboy. And Romy, who else do we have in the form of exhilarating repeat callers with a golden ticket these days anyway? Oh, hey there, Jim.
Ah. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Just sort of rambling along. I mean, I'm glad you're back, Jay. I want you to listen. I just don't want you to call and ramble like that. But I'm glad you found the show once again. You know, guys that go out of their lane to smash other guys but aren't nearly as good as the guys they're smashing are just taking all of our oxygen. Got to be better than that if you're going to take a run at a guy like Mark in Hollywood. Look, I understand that a lot of you hate Mark in Hollywood, but you have to do better than taking a run at him for his IMDb page, calling him a valet, an extra, a bystander, a jock sniffer. Because the guy's got skin. The guy's got serious skin in the game. The guy's won the thing. The guy has won the thing. You can't take that from him. Ever. 1-800-636-8686. Can Lef in La Gimmick Beach win this thing without his gimmick? That's the big question right now. And I'm saying I would not sleep on this guy. I think that he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. I think that's not a guy that you want to underestimate. And again, I don't have any intel. I don't have any information. All I have is I've been the guy sitting in this chair from start to finish. I've been the guy for every single smack-off. I've heard every single smack-off call live. I'm saying do not underestimate this cat. Still ahead, Michael Porter Jr. In fact, let's break right now. Michael Porter Jr., one of the more interesting stories in the draft. That's coming up next. Tariq Cohen coming up after that. Listen, if you're on hold, stay there. I may have time to get to you because the callers, or I should say the guests, do not always show up right where they're supposed to be. I may have a window for you. If not, you can even call right now, 1-800-636-8686. Other stories that I do want to get to that I have not, LiAngelo Ball. I might be in the minority. I'll say it again. There's no way that video is real. There's no way that guy shot the ball that badly. There's no way an alleged NBA star, future star, is shooting it off the side of the glass. There's no way that's real. That's still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Busy, busy Monday. I'm Jim Rome. Nice to have you. What I want to do here is have a conversation with a running back with the Chicago Bears. Second on the team with 53 receptions and third with 353 yards last season. Second on the team in rushing with 87 carries for 370 yards and a couple of TDs. First NFL rookie since Gale Sayers back in 1965 to score touchdowns via rushing, receiving, passing, and a punt return in a single season. Played his college ball at North Carolina A&T. He was the 119th pick overall in 2017, and he is hosting the Tariq Cohen Camp at Aggie Stadium in Greensboro, North Carolina on July 14th. Tariq, nice to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on. Good to run you down. So you're coming off a rookie season where you did a little bit of everything, as I mentioned, and you put up some really nice numbers. How different then does it feel to be entering your second season when you've already got a year under your belt?
I feel way more comfortable. You know, it's like I don't have to be nervous anymore. I really know what I'm getting myself into now. So I'm just ready to get back at it, you know, and get another crack at this thing.
All right, so you didn't get a lot of hype coming out of college, but people who know the game knew that if you got a shot, you were going to make an impact. When you look back on last season, was there that welcome to the NFL moment in the sense that you realized, man, I can not only play in this league, but I might be able to be a special player in this league?
I feel like it really was in the preseason during the Arizona Cardinals game. I did pretty good that game. I had like 7 carries for 70-something yards. But I wasn't even supposed to, like, start that game. Jordan had got poked in the eye, so he didn't make the game. He had to go to the optometrist, I think, and then they told me I was going to start like, right before the game, so I was so nervous. And I got in the game, I did well, so I felt like I really, you know. And then I was going against the ones when I got in the game, so I was like, yeah, I probably could make an impact in this league.
Tariq Cohen joining us. You know, it's a really honest answer. You know, but last year, you know how this goes too, right? You were able to surprise some people, but now everybody knows. Now everybody can adjust and scheme for you. So how do you go about taking your game to the next level to make sure that you're adjusting ahead of the people who are trying to adjust back to you?
I feel like it's all about doing more, you know, because people are going to be game planning for me more. I have to, you know, go about my work more harder. So I have to prepare better, have to work out harder, you know, take practice more seriously, and just try to get better every day than what I was last time.
Now, your new head coach, Matt Nagy, has been pretty excited when he talks about you and how he wants to run you inside and outside, have you catch passes out of the backfield, have you in pass protection, split you out wide. What do you make of the offense so far, and how much fun are you having in that new system?
I feel like the offense is great. You know, it's similar to some of the stuff I did in college. You know, we have a lot of RPOs going in. And then I feel like if I could kick the football, he also want me to kick the football too, you know.
Great.
It just goes to show how many places he has me at. You know, I've been everywhere. I've been in every position. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. If he's going to let you kick the football, you've got to. Now, I'm looking at what you have around you, and I see Eddie Jackson, and I see Spice Adams, and they were talking recently about locker room basketball. You know, for those who don't know, what is locker room basketball like, and who's the best player that team has?
All right, so we have like a little basketball goal set up in our locker room. And, it's a running joke right now that says just because I'm the shortest player, like, it's the perfect goal for me. But that's why they say that I'm the best on the court. But they just mad because can't nobody check me on that court, and my jumper is really the best in the locker room.
Yeah, right. Now, these guys were both saying that you talk a lot of trash, but you back it up, except the height of the locker room hoop is like a regulation hoop for you. That's them, not me. In fact, Spice said that you are, and these words are his words, not mine, that you're statue-sized, quote, like the dude you put on a cake, end quote. I mean, that's kind of cold. What's your reaction when you hear that?
I just laughed at it. Spice has never picked up the basketball when he's been in the locker room. He's just a talker. I don't think he ever wants to do that in the locker room. I have him looking silly in there.
Dude, is there any way at all that Spice or E-Jack could take you in basketball?
Oh, no, definitely not. Eddie really don't shoot the basketball either. I think his locker is like the farthest from the basketball zone.
All right, so one guy doesn't pick up the basketball. The other guy doesn't shoot the basketball. There's no way they're going to take you. But let's go a little bit deeper. Could either of these guys beat you in Fortnite? Better yet, is there anybody in that locker room that can beat you at Fortnite?
No, I don't think so. It's the people that's good, though, like he's real good. Adam Shaheen, he's good also. And then I play with Benny Cunningham and Taquan Mondale. So, you know, from them picking up me, they like, I'm like the master, they're like the students.
It's great. I don't know, man. Judging by the number of hours my 13-year-old logs on Fortnite, he could probably hold his own. But I get it. You're the master. They're the students. Now, the other day, you were also tweeting about getting stuck in some pretty bad traffic. And you tweeted, quote, "I need a monster truck," end quote. I like that take. How bad was the traffic? And if you need a monster truck, you know, how do you roll? Do you start driving over the other cars? Was that your way of handling the traffic?
I feel like that would be the best way to handle that traffic, especially when you're in a rush. Because I was trying to get to the airport. It would take an hour from downtown for me to get over here. And I was just stuck in traffic going 10 miles per hour. So, yeah, I was just frustrated.
Wait, listen,
I had a lot of time to tweet.
Yeah, no, I grew up, right, exactly. Frustrated and a lot of time to tweet. And having grown up in Los Angeles, around the traffic, I'm always looking for an angle. I'm always looking for an edge. And that might be it. Listen, also, when the tornadoes hit an elementary school in Greensboro, North Carolina, you started reaching out to people to figure out ways that you could help out. There are a lot of things that you could be doing in the off season. Why was that something that was so important to you that you wanted to do?
Because, you know, being here in Greensboro for about 5 years, you know, I've really grown a liking to the people, and they just support me so well. So I feel like when something happened here and that sort, I feel like I had to give back, you know, and that I'm in a position to help. So that's what I have to do.
Right. So to that point, the elementary school lost most of its phys ed equipment. So about a week and a half later, you arrived with boxes and boxes of basketballs, footballs, jump ropes, and more. What did it mean to you to be in that position where you could give back?
It means everything, you know. I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do, being in this position and being able to give back. You know, it's great to do that. And just to see the kids' faces when I came in there, you know, doing all the Fortnite dances with them, just giving them their PE equipment back. Because I know PE is a big thing in school. So yeah, I know it was a big thing for me. So just to be able to do that was a great thing.
Good for you. So as part of giving back, you're also hosting the Tariq Cohen Camp. It's on July 14th at Aggie Stadium in Greensboro. What's it mean to you to be able to go back to your college and to host a camp?
That really means a lot. Because growing up, I never went to any camp. So I know for some kids, this might be like the first time they meet a professional athlete. And just to show them, you know, they probably see my size and be like, oh, yeah, I can do it too. So just to be that guy and just give them hope, you know, it's great.
It's Rick, one last thing. I've always said this about Chicago. I mean, it's a great town. It's an amazing town, but it's a really, really good sports town. And if you do something significant there, I would argue that it's almost not like doing it anywhere else. That in Chicago, man, they understand their athletes, their sports, they love it. Do you have a sense that what that stage is like? That if you accomplish something great there, what it would mean to do it there as opposed to other towns?
I definitely have that sense. It goes back to say, like, when I scored a touchdown in overtime against the Steelers, the stadium was just rocking. Like, it was the loudest environment I ever been in. And I could just feel the energy. And then the fans really liked me just off that one play. So I know if I have, like, a great complete season, just what it could mean for me, you know, and being liked by Chicago.
Once again, the first rookie since Gale Sayers back in 65 to score TDs via rushing, receiving, passing, and punt returns. He's got his camp coming up, the Tariq Cohen Camp at Aggie Stadium in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the 14th of July. Tariq, great to have you on the show. Thanks for doing that. Good luck with it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, too. Glad we ran you down. Tariq Cohen. Okay. Now I'm going to try and find Michael Porter Jr. Also a good story. And we'll shoot for that next segment. If you want maximum performance from your car, Alvin DeLauro, you can use an Edge, Castrol Edge, Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology. It is the huge email sponsor. It's also 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade. It helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. All right, so we are going to effort Michael Porter Jr. next segment. First up, a sports update. Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com. We are efforting Michael Porter Jr. In the meantime, Remember, Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I could slip that in quickly. Chris asks, how would you have celebrated if you would have gotten into the Hall of Fame? We're doing it anyway, Rome's. You're an H-O-F-er. How would I have celebrated? Probably the same way I celebrate every Friday night. With a big glass of the Magic Blue or a big glass of the Clear White. You know, whatever. There were no great plans. Because either it was going to happen or it didn't happen, and it hasn't happened, and it might still happen, and it's all good. In fact, I'll do it again. Not tonight, but I'll do it on Friday night. I'll do it the way I do it every single Friday night, with either a glass of the Magic Blue or a glass of the Clear White. Which goes back to this past week, and I mentioned this at the top. As part of the Hall of Fame, I said that I would give you seven demands. Actually, five. And then I said that if you can do this, I'll get you a sixth. And then I said, if you can do this, I'll get you a seventh. And some of the demands I actually was looking forward to, and some of the demands I'm kind of glad I lost. You know, that whole Najee Davenport, didn't want any part of that. But I will admit, the thing that disappoints me, aside from the loss itself, was the fact that one of the demands was going to be Logan Rome co-hosting a segment with me. And that's not happening. Anyway. Maybe I'll get back to that. As promised, we're joined right now by a draft pick for the Denver Nuggets. He was the 14th selection in Thursday's draft. He was the 2017 USA Today Player of the Year, the 2017 Naismith Prep Player of the Year, a high school All-American. Denver was 46-36 last season, and that's where he begins his pro career. Michael Porter Jr. is my guest. Michael, it is really nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. How are you?
Doing great. Michael, nice to hear your voice. Let me first ask you, what was that moment like when you heard your name called and you knew finally where you were going to live, where you were going to work, and that you were going to be a member of the Denver Nuggets?
It was a surreal moment. You know, it's a moment I've been dreaming for ever since I was a little kid. So, you know, Denver wasn't the place I expected to be, you know, drafted by. But when I heard my name and I figured I'd be living in Denver, I was so excited. I've been here a couple of times, and I love the city, and it feels like the perfect place for me.
Michael Porter Jr., my guest. All right, so you'll get a better sense once you get there and you see what it's like, but you're going to join a Nuggets team that has improved every single season that Michael Malone has been in charge and just missed making the postseason last year. So how excited are you about the future of this team and how good it might be?
I think it's amazing. I think we have great pieces, and I think this young team is going to continue to get better. I feel like I fit perfectly with this team because, you know, they love to score. They love to get up and down. And they got some great guards, and they got a great center, you know. I feel like I fit in perfect, and it's a really unselfish group of guys, so I'm happy to be a part of it.
Denver Nugget Michael Porter Jr. joins us. Now, going into the draft, there was talk that you might be going very early, and then you had to wait it out for a bit. It can be really stressful and really uncomfortable, but from where I'm sitting, it seemed like you handled that very, very well. What were you thinking and feeling as teams chose other players instead of you?
Honestly, you know, I got a great agent, so I knew the ballpark. The week before, before I had that little hip spasm, you know, the team's at the very top of the draft told me I was their guy. So I was going to go very early, and I knew that. And then I had the hip stuff, and some of the teams at the very top got a little scared. Then, you know, once one team gets a little scared, then a lot of them do. So my agent kind of knew in the ballpark where I was going. And so I wasn't very surprised. But at the same time, you know, It's definitely stressful sitting at that table.
You know, Michael, you did a really nice job of laying that out. I mean, you dealt with that back injury in college, and then you had that hip situation right before the draft, and that caused teams to be a little bit concerned. A lot of guys, though, in your situation, despite who their agent might be, still might have been angry or upset about how it played out. But you told Matt Norlander, quote, "I don't feel entitled to this. All of this is a blessing," end quote. It's a really remarkable attitude to have on a tough night. So where does that come from, and how do you view that night as a blessing?
Honestly, so like I said before, well, first of all, I think that everything happens for a reason. You know, I'm a firm believer in that. So that hip thing that happened to me, It was at the absolute worst timing because I had another pro day a couple days after that. And, you know, I had been feeling great for a month, working out super hard, like 3 hours a day. And then that happened. And that sent me back in the draft. And the way I looked at it is, like, instead of being mad about it, I was just like, maybe that team that I was going to go to really high in the draft wasn't the right situation for me. It wasn't going to develop me right. And I wasn't going to, you know, succeed as I would in a different situation. So that's how I viewed it. And if I slipped to a team that wasn't at the top of the draft, I just thought that, you know, that's where I was supposed to be and that's where I was going to develop best and my career was going to be better suited there. So that's how I viewed it.
Michael Porter Jr., my guest. All right, so Michael, the process has been really interesting. The journey's been really interesting. At this time last year, you were the National Player of the Year in high school. You were headed to Missouri. Then you suffered that back injury, and you end up playing only three games in college. Obviously, that's not the way you want things to go this past year, but what did you learn about yourself along the way and over the past year?
I learned a lot. You know, I kind of grew up as a young man. It's hard going through adversity, but, you know, I've been through it now. There was a time in my life where I've said this before, I kind of took the elevator. You know, I was like ranked 25th, I think, in eighth grade. And then I steadily just went up till I'm the number one player in the country. Never had any problems, never had any, you know, issues. Life was easy. And then I had that adversity. So I think going through that really prepared me for you know, stuff later in life. You know, there's going to be adversity in the league. And it really also helped me become solid as who I am as a person and not be able to easily be shaken by that. So it was good for me.
You know, I like that elevator analogy a lot. Do you think maybe, time will tell, but do you think maybe that as tough as that was to go through, you're going to end up being a better player and a better person because of what you had to go through?
No doubt, man. I think it was all part of my plan. And it's like it's definitely different than most guys. You know, I was the wild card of the draft. Didn't know where I was going to go. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be fine and I'm going to be better than ever. And, you know, it's going to be all good for me. So,
Michael Porter Jr., my guest. You know, your father, Michael Sr., was an assistant at Missouri. So what was it like to play for him and have him along with you on this journey?
It was good. My dad was the one that put the ball in my hand at 3 years old, and he's been there with me throughout it all, you know, through the ups and downs. And he's not one that cares about basketball. I mean, he wants me to be as good as I can be, but he cares about me as a person far more. So to have him there with me the whole way has been great.
You know, Michael, you came back at the end of the season and you played 51 minutes in a couple of postseason games. At that time, it seems to me you were not necessarily all the way back. There was a chance that you could even re-injure yourself. The safer move would have been not to play, but you were insistent. You really wanted to. Why was it so important for you to get back out there?
Honestly, it was just for my teammates. You know, we had made the tournament, but we had suffered a lot of injuries. Jordan Barnett was out. He couldn't play because of some stuff that happened on campus. We had a couple other players hurt out for the season. So we only had six players on scholarship going into the tournament. And, you know, I didn't know how much of a difference I would make at that point because, obviously, I was not back at all, feeling great at all. But, you know, I just did it for my teammates, and I wanted to do what I could do to help.
Now, Michael, you and Trae Young are friends, and he took a little bit of heat for that suit on draft night, right? How do you feel about that suit short look that he was rocking?
I thought it was funny. You know, that's such a Trae thing to do. You know, he swears he's a trendsetter, but no, that's my guy, and it was funny.
Dude, it was really funny, and that seemed like a Trae. I don't know him like you do, but that seemed like a Trae thing to do, man. Hey, look, you can do it, right? As long as you can back it up, you can do it. But, you know, on a serious note, in the 2 weeks before the draft, both of you were getting a lot of attention as to where you might end up. What kind of conversations did the two of you have during that time, and how helpful was it to have somebody that you were tight with going through the same experience that you were going through?
Yeah, it was great. You know, me and Trae are really good friends, and to be able to go through all this together has been awesome. You know, we'd FaceTime talking about what shoe company we were going to sign with, where we wanted to go, you know, what workouts we had coming up, all that kind of stuff we talked about. So, he's one of my best friends, and it's cool going through this with him. And I think that we both landed in great situations for us.
Hey, Mike, let me finally ask you this. Since you and I spent a few minutes talking to each other, I think I can really pose this question, and you'll understand where I'm coming from, or others would. Before the draft, you were on with my guy, D.A., and you were asked about the players that you get compared to, and you said KD and the Greek Freak, and then people ran with it like you were saying that you think you are KD or the Freak, and that you've got this huge ego. I'm very clearly talking to you right now, I could see that's not where you were going, but the question people were asking was to get who you thought you might be compared to, was there a part of you that was thinking, now, wait a minute, that's not what I said, but if I'm going to compare myself or model my game after somebody, why wouldn't I want it to be two of the best in the game in KD and the Freak?
Man, that's exactly how I was thinking about it. Like, I mean, the question was, who do other people compare you to? And I said, you know, other people compare me to KD, you know, Tracy McGrady, sometimes some of the Greek Freak. I know by no means was trying to say I'm at that level yet. You know, I can't skip steps, and I'm going to work hard to eventually be better than all those guys. But, you know, I'm not there yet. And, you know, the media kind of took that and ran with it, but it's all good. People will understand that that's not me. I'm not an arrogant kid the more I'm in front of the camera and everything, so.
Okay, you know what's tough about that, Michael, is it's like I want to say lesson learned, but at the same time, that's not what you were saying. I would hate for athletes to stop saying anything at all because they're afraid that it's going to get twisted or misconstrued or they're going to have to double back. I mean, it was a really an innocuous kind of innocent answer, right? I mean, are you going to change the way? Was that lesson learned for you, or are you just going to keep doing what you're doing?
In a way, it was a lesson learned just because with the media, I always try to be super friendly and
right.
Like, answer all their questions thoroughly. But after that, you know, there was a part of me that was like, man, like I'm just going to be short and concise and not even like go there with media anymore and not, you know, give full answers. But then I just kind of thought, you know, I'm going to just be careful with what I say, make sure people understand where I'm coming from, and try to be as humble as possible.
You know, it's a good answer. Michael, listen, as a member of the media, I would hate to hear going forward, I'm just going to be really short and that way I don't get burned. But if I were you and I were in your position, I could see where you might feel that way.
Right, right.
You got it. Michael Porter Jr., my guest. Michael, listen, great to have you on the show. Really appreciate the conversation. Really nice to have you. Hope we can do it again soon. Nice job.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You have a great day. Michael Porter Jr., that's a really humble young guy. And that's tough. You know, again, he was projected as the number one pick overall. National Player of the Year coming out of high school. There were some who thought that if he could jump right from high school to the NBA, he still would have gone first overall. Gets to Missouri, immediately gets hurt, has back surgery, has to deal with that. Comes back at the end of the year, tries to play through a few postseason games, and then right before the process itself, injures his hip before a few pro days. And then on draft night, when he was projected to go number one overall, ends up dropping down to number 14. Not an easy thing to see guys going ahead of him. But then as he points out after the fact was, look, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe had I gone higher, I would not end up in a situation that's as good as the one that I ended up in. Sure, it cost me some money. Sure, it was tough to endure. Sure, it was stressful. But in the end, it might be the best thing of all. I might have ended up in the best situation. So, good interview day. Great interview day. Mo Bamba, Michael Porter Jr., Tariq Cohen. Got a rule change in the Smackoff, too. This email says, hey, Rome, I know how Lef feels. A golf course banned me from crashing the 15th hole fairway. Signed, Indy Jones.
Get off my plane.
Lee in Vancouver. You know, Lee, if you want to be accurate, it was the par 3 8th hole tee box at Penmar in Mar Vista. You don't even know your own punchline. Stop making crap up, Lee. Stop the lies, Lee. Dear Jim, no crashing the studio. Got it. Are living rooms still cool? Yours, the Pan Man. Brett from Bugahaw. Content baked fresh daily. Day-old content. Half price, Brett. Trevor Douglas tweets, we say let Rogan Loam co-host this Friday so y'all can discuss Flight Deck's tweets and emails that come in. Great father-son moment. That's not a bad idea. Not sure I can pull that off. Not a bad idea. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, listen up. Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that gives you, the pro, exclusive deals and services for all of your professional flooring needs. Put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidators store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. Mo Bamba, Michael Porter Jr., Tariq Cohen, all of our guests. The XR4TI coming through on a busy Monday. Clones, thanks for everything. I mean that sincerely. Thank you very much for everything. Could not appreciate you any